Where and when did you graduate from high school?
Oh God, that's such a long time ago. Actually, I graduated from our high school in Maniwaki. I guess the CTA detente, and I think it was in 1977.
1977?
Yeah.
I see. And what was your average at that time when you graduated?
This is embarrassing. No, I would have to say it's somewhat of an average grade. I don't consider myself one of the intellects by any means. I would have to say it's probably about a B.
A B, yeah.
Yeah.
And what did you do after graduation?
Actually, since high school, I think it's been a long trek towards studies. It's I entered Algonquin College at Woodruff, and from there I went on to do my BA at Carleton University, and now I'm on to doing my my final year of law at University of Ottawa.
And I understand that you were at one time a chef?
At the Chateau Laurier, an experience that I tried to forget. Yeah.
And where did you take your chef course?
At Algonquin, the Woodruff campus.
And you worked at Chateau Laurier?
Yes, yes.
Who are some of the people that you've prepared a cuisine for?
Generally, just for the average customers. There was we never really had any sole clientele in particular. So it was just just a normal restaurant, in other words.
When did you first become interested in law?
Actually, I think I was always interested in law from childhood. There were two things I've always wanted to do. One is cook and do the study of law. And while I was cooking at the Chateau Laurier, I found out I had missed going back to school tremendously. And it was then I decided to take a course that's going to keep me in school for a long time. And lo and behold, I went on to do my BA, and I'm still studying now, 6 years later.
And which institute did you study in?
Right now, I'm doing my final year of law at University of Ottawa. And basically, I concentrate in the area of public law as opposed to private law. There's a distinction.
What's the difference between the public law and private law?
Public law is basically any type of law that involves actions between the private individual, such as you or I, and the state, in other words, the federal government or the province, for that matter. Private law is anything that involves two private individuals. For example, it could be real estate, landlord and tenant, contract law. So public law involves primarily constitutional law, native law, administrative law. And that's the area that I specialize in. And I don't do anything else but native law.
Do you intend to further your education in law?
I think so. I can't see myself stopping after this final year. My plans are quite, I have long-term plans. I will probably be going on to Arizona to clerk for the Navajo Supreme Court to gather the knowledge that from their experiences. One thing I've learned is that the American Indians are far more advanced than we are, I'd say by at least 50 years. So I'd like to see what they've done and to see their mistakes and to make sure that we don't repeat them over here.
When you say they're far more advanced by about 50 years, exactly what do you mean? In which areas?
Basically, primarily in the area of self-government. That's an area that's probably more of interest to Canada's Indians across, all across the country. And it's something that I'm actively involved in both at school and on a professional basis. And when I say on a professional basis, and probably in about a month's time, along with four of the partners and I, will be opening up a consulting firm to negotiate self-government for different bands across the country. So I tend to lead a somewhat busy life.
So you intend to form your own law firm then?
No, there's a distinction actually between a law firm and a consulting firm or a lobbyist. A law firm is a very restrictive firm to be involved. It's a very restrictive business. You have to abide by so many rules. And I take both a professional and a personal viewpoint that if you want to advance in the area of Native affairs, Native policy, Native law, you don't go to court. courts have a habit of restricting Aboriginal rights. Rather, if you want to make a major advancement, you enter into political negotiations. In that way, everybody comes out a winner.
So you do intend to get involved in Canadian Native affairs or Native politics?
Yes. I can't say public policy holding as such, but rather my whole interest is to help bands who have an interest in pursuing self-government to get them off the ground and to achieve that long road of being self-governing. And that's why, actually, I tend to concentrate all of my studies at school towards that subject. It's a very complicated field, but it can be achieved if one takes their time.
Are you aware of the upcoming referendum on the land claim negotiations being held between the reserve here and the Department of Indian Affairs?
I'm somewhat aware of it. I don't know the details. I tend to go, well, not only do I go to school full-time, but I work full-time, so I tend to be somewhat removed from the daily happenings of the reserve. Whatever I can get hold of, it's through by hearsay only or secondary knowledge. Yeah, so I am aware of some of the aspects, but not everything.
And on the same subject, is a federal government negotiator dealing in Native land claims as supposed to be a qualified lawyer?
Not necessarily. A negotiator could be a lawyer. He could be a political scientist. He could be a public administrator. He could be a land evaluator. But preferably, most negotiators are lawyers because the art of negotiation is a practice in itself. Not too many people could do it. There are so many rules that a negotiator has to abide by that normally the client is not aware of. And the whole idea is to avoid an impasse and to achieve a successful result at the end. So, yes, in law schools they do teach you how to negotiate properly. Because if a land claim is agreed to, it eventually has to go to the Department of Justice, which is basically run by lawyers anyways. And so they have the final approval of giving, I guess, well, approval to the land claim itself before it's given recognition within the House. So yes, eventually what's happened is the land claim is manipulated by lawyers.
Moving on to a slightly different area, would you be available for legal consultations if someone from this reserve requested it?
It depends on what you mean, legal consultations. One has to remember as well, our reserve is located in Quebec, and Quebec is run by civil law. It's a codified law, whereas I've been studying common law for the last couple of years. It's a totally different aspect altogether. I would be available for consultations in the area of Native law because it does apply to Quebec. It's a federal matter. But when it comes down to the very specifics of Quebec civil law, that's outside of my jurisdiction altogether. And that would include, for example, a landlord and tenant within the Quebec law, contract law, property law. There are all sorts of various things that are different within Quebec that are not the same in Ontario.
What advice would you give to Native students who wish to pursue a career in law, or any career for that matter?
The ultimate question. I think this is one question I am quite well prepared for. My advice to students is basically don't give up. Don't let nothing and no one stand in your way. There are so very few Native status Indian students in law schools right now across the country. And what's happening is law schools all over the country are playing a numbers game whereby they would like to get as many number of Native students into law schools and get them to graduate and go out. But law school is difficult and it's also easy. There are some courses that are hard and there's some that are easy. Like I said before, I don't consider myself a greatly intelligent student. I think there are many people on the reserve who are probably more intelligent than I am. And my philosophy is basically, if I can do it, I think anybody else back home could do it. So it's just a matter of disciplining yourself to get down to work and do a lot of hard work.
Did you attend the prep law course being held in Saskatchewan?
Yes, yes. That was quite some time ago.
And that is a two-month course, is it?
It's a rigorous two-month course. It's designed to gear Native students easy access into law schools, but I worked with the Department of Justice into evaluating that program, I'd say about 4 years ago, and it's a very unusual program. I certainly recommend any student who's thinking of going into law school to take it, because it gives them a very good view of what law school is like, and it tells them in a very quick period of time whether they are right for law school. But that course adds on a lot more difficulty on any student. If you're a non-native student, if you want to get into law school, you basically have to have very high marks and a high law school admission test score. Those are basically the two requirements. But if you're an Indian student, you have to have, again, high marks, your law school admission test score, and a fairly good assessment from University of Saskatchewan. So there's more of a heavier onus on Native students to go into law school. It wasn't designed that way, but unfortunately it is. So again, really, the key is if a student wants to study law, they probably would know way beforehand what's perfect for them. And again, I can only emphasize that one has to work hard to get what they want. It doesn't come easy.
Right. I've always had that impression about the profession of law.
Well, it's not all that difficult, like I say. And most of us do, certainly most of my friends at school, do work full-time as well. And I think it really boils down to just disciplining your lifestyle altogether. There are times when you can't really go partying or anything like that. It's making sure that you do your work by the hours. You have to watch your days go by, the hours per day. Most people I know are doing their law degree and another university degree at the same time and are also working their way through school. So, yes, it's easy and yet it's hard.
Which law school would you, in your own personal opinion, consider to be the best in Canada?
That's a difficult question. I'm going to take that from the viewpoint of a Native student. What do they want to do? If they want to practice Native law, certainly the best schools are University of Saskatchewan, University of BC, and probably Osgoode Hall, because they have excellent professors who teach Native law. Ottawa U is also a good one. Our professor has done a lot of work in the field. But the difficulty with Ottawa U is that they emphasize that their students practice law. As a result, I'd say about 75% of your courses are not related to Native law altogether. They're related to, say, corporate law, tax law, finance, things that will make you work out to the field with non-Native people. If you're studying at Queen's, Toronto, or in Vancouver for that matter, you have a greater choice of what you want to do. It really depends on what the student wants to do. But certainly, I should say that shopping for university can be difficult. It requires a lot of forethought. And I'd like to make myself available to any student who is considering studies of law and helping them through that thick forest.
And how many years does it take to become a qualified lawyer?
Basically, most law schools require you to do a BA, which is about 3 years first, but you can get into a law school with just 2 years of formal educational training. But I would suggest that you do your full 3 years, because it's always good to have a BA, and then it's another 3 years on top for law school. If you want to practice altogether, it's another year after your 3 years of law, which gives you up to 7 so far. You have to do your articles, in other words, it's a form of apprenticeship where you're sent to a law firm or else the Supreme Court. In my case, that's what I'm doing. I'm going to be clerking with the Navajo Supreme Court. And then you have to write your bar ads for 6 months. But there's a choice. Your bar admission course you have to write your exams for 6 months straight. But you have that choice of doing your Master of Laws, another degree, and not having to write your exams. Your Master of Laws could take you about another 2 to 5 years altogether. There's no ending. It could take you anywhere from 3 years to, say, 7 or 8 years. But the whole idea is basically, there's a trend now that having a simple law degree is not enough. There are a lot of lawyers out there who are in competition with each other. There's not enough clients for the lawyers existing. So what's happening is most lawyers are going for their third degree or fourth degree for that matter. And so the competition is lessened in that sense. So I do find myself, yes, still continuing to go to school after this.
Well, that is very good to hear. And Sammy, I would like to thank you very much for taking the time out of your busy, I know you have a very busy schedule, to give us a call here, and we appreciate this very, very much.
Well, actually, I should be thanking you. It gives me a good break from having to study somewhat of a boring subject, that being tax law. So I should be the one to thank you. You've afforded me somewhat of a different break.
You're very welcome.
Oh, well, thank you.
So, possibly sometimes we'll run into each other on the reserve here.
Yes. Well, I hope to make it very soon.
Yeah, okay. And maybe we could, go out and have a drink and talk law.
Hopefully not. You will find out exactly how boring a student's life can be.
Okay, Sammy. So, I hope to be seeing you in the very near future.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.